host an auspicious event on an auspicious day. Shri Ram Navami Maha Mahotsav Ki
Jai.
And the installation of Srimad Bhagavatam on Ramchandra's appearance day. So it's very nice on an occasion like this. You could read some glories of Lord Ramachandra directly from Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is, we think of it as the glories of Krishna and his pastimes, and especially the 10th canto. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing all the forms of the Lord, with the understanding that Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the origin of all the different incarnations. So in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find some nice descriptions of the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Is chapter 10, and Lord Ramchandra rules the world. Is chapter 11. I'll read a little bit, and then we can pass the book around a little bit so we can hear Shukadeva Goswami's description of Lord Ramachandra and Prabhupada's, a little bit from Prabhupada's purports for purification and for appreciating this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada very kindly gave us. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra begin as follows. Shukadeva Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu, and from Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasarath. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Dasharath. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth, because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are so many versions of Ramayana, too many, that many that are unauthorized. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, we know that there's too many, so I'm only going to speak of the authorized ones. Here's how it begins. Modern Rakshasas posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person, etc. So, it's not a complimentary beginning of the miscellaneous translations by scholarly people. In Illinois, it was recently in Chicago, and the Illinois Institute of Technology, a different IIT than most people know. And at the end of the program, one student came up, patiently waited because there was someone else speaking, just waited to get his moment of being heard, he sat right next to me and said, I'm an atheist. It was like testing to see if I was going to react to his statement that I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in all of this. But then in the course of the discussion, when I didn't react, he described he's reading Bhagavad Gita. I said, you're an atheist and reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, yes, there's something there. And I said, tell me, who's the translator? He said, I don't know. I was looking at the beginning and it doesn't say. He said, it's probably a collection of scholars, and so they just didn't put one scholar's name. Then I asked him some questions about what did it say about when it says surrender unto Krishna, what is it? Sarva dharmam pratyajya mam ekam. What does it say? Well, I forget his words were, but the gist of it was something impersonal. So scholarly renditions of the Bhagavatam or of Ramayan or of Bhagavad Gita that wish to see Krishna and Ram disappear, the personality of Godhead disappears, but somehow take their name and then write their own ideas in the book. As Prabhupada would say, this is going on. But it's very important to hear from authorized sources and hear this message as we're getting this opportunity in this succession through the Bhagavatam. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, the king of the monkeys, and Sugriva, and by his own younger brother Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us protection. There's no purport to these. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishvamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. Shukadeva Goswami speaks to Maharaj Parikshit, O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. A baby elephant's pastimes are wonderful, I guess. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung the bow and broke it in the middle, just like a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities in form of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residents, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Kashira, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashrama, Ravana sent Marich in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshmana was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes uprooted sheep, unprotected sheep, when the shepherd is absent. Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to a woman. With a nice long purport about attachment. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabandha, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killed Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him, falling at the Lord's lotus feet. The personified ocean spoke as follows. I won't continue. There's this passage here in the Bhagavatam of what agitated the ocean was the Lord's glancing upon the ocean, and as mentioned in the first description here, there are other versions of the Ramayana. Another common version is the Lord shot arrows, and the arrows entering deep into the ocean made the ocean boil. Here is indicating by his glancing. Previously it said just by raising his eyebrows. So how do we process this understanding, this message that there's different versions. Some of them may simply be speculative versions, and we can put them aside that way. But Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly not, and Valmiki Ramayana is not. How our acharyas describe is as follows, that the incarnations of the Lord, just as time is cyclical, in different cycles of time, different appearances of Krishna will come and different appearances of Ram will come, and there are slight variations in those pastimes. Our acharyas describe that variety is the mother of enjoyment. And so the same theme is being presented when the Lord performs his pastimes, but there's varieties on the theme for his enjoyment. He's not obliged to do the same thing the same way every time, but he's rather engaging with his devotees and the demigods and whoever he's coming in contact with in ways that invokes their Krishna consciousness or reciprocates with their regard for him. So he does so in various ways. He's certainly capable, and he is expert at enjoying. So he enjoys with diversity. This is how our acharyas describe. But what's important for us is that what we hear is authoritative. Little example. I was in New York during Gaur Purnima, and while speaking in on the evening of Gaur Purnima, speaking about Lord Chaitanya, there were a number of Bengalis in the audience, and one Bengali gentleman, for the question and answer session, asked a question. I won't even repeat exactly what he said, but you know, something that is not authorized. How do we understand when Vishnu Priya something something something? What he said was that Vishnu Priya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, she saw the universal Brahman. So why did the Lord show her that form, and why did she reject it? That was his question. And I said, there's no such version. It's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's not in Chaitanya Mangala, it's not in any authorized version. So what you heard, I have no response, because other than it's not authentic. We have to be very careful to what we hear before going down the path of trying to understand it. So it's very safe and sure to receive the messages of the personality of Godhead from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're very fortunate to have this at our disposal. So maybe I'll let a few of you read just some. Here's how long is the chapter? 3, 5, 6 verses. Pass it around. Have a little time.
O all pervading Supreme Person, we are dull minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original Personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravan, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka. Please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you." Shukadeva Goswami said, "After constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burned by Hanuman. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dhumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahastha, Atikaya, Vikampana and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramchandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriv, Hanuman, Gandamad, Nila, Angad, Jambavan and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, Ristis, Shakti arrows, Khadagas and Tomaras.
Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. The soldiers... Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded towards Lord Ramchandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows.
Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like a stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraja punishes sinful man, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and other Rakshasas, striking their best in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmana. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. O my Lord, O Master, you epitomize trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter?
O great and fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state in having been killed by Lord Ramachandra.
O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures and your soul fit to go to hell. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Simshapa, in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramchandra was very compassionate. When Ramchandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an aeroplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in a forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana. When Lord Ramchandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramchandra heard that In his absence, his brother Bharata was eating barely cooked in the urine of a cow. Covering his body with bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on the mattress of Kusa, the most merciful Lord very much lamented on this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramchandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramchandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigrama. Lord Bharata was accompanied by ministers, priests and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden robe. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants wearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, wearing an umbrella, with different grades of precious jewels and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharata, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramchandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love.
After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramchandra, Lord Bharata stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharata with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshmana, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation.
O King, Lord Bharata carried Lord Ramchandra's wooden shoes, Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan, Hanuman carried a white umbrella, Shatrughan carried a bow and two quivers, and Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angad carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the Rakshasas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramchandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kekai and the other wives of Maharaj Dasharatha, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors such as Vasishtha, friends of his own age, and younger friends worshipped him. And he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace.
Upon seeing this, the mother of Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna immediately arose, like unconsciousness bodies returning to consciousness. The mother placed their choice on their lap, and heard to them with tears, thus revealing themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishtha, had Lord Ramchandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the Bhagi Sarvani Abhisheka for Lord Ramchandra with the water of four feet and with other substances, just as it was performed.
Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashrama, accepted him as their father. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satyuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy.
Oh Maharaj, Parashit, best of the Bharat dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramchandra, the forest, the tree, the rivers, the hills and the mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. All these facilities, when Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it.
Lord Ramchandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king and everything in his character was good, unintended by qualities like anger. He thought good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of varnashram dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities.
Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy and engaged, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord.
Okay. So that was very nice, huh? Just hearing Ramchandra's pastimes. And there's another chapter that those of you that have Srimad Bhagavatam in your home can read. What to speak of the purports. When 1970s, we, under Prabhupada's instruction, bought a printing press following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada wanted to have our own printing press and many printing presses. It was very expansive, dynamic mood. So the person in charge of the printing press, his name was Advaita, he made a proposal to Srila Prabhupada that he wanted to print a Bhagavad Gita, just the verses, that is of a very small size, you could just put it in your shirt pocket, and at any time of the day you can pull the first book out and recite the verses. And so he asked Prabhupada for permission to do that, and Prabhupada's answer was no. And his explanation was, there's so many translations of Bhagavad Gita, the verses are not what are so much distinct, it's the commentary that's distinct. So if you, without the proper commentary, you won't be able to understand Bhagavad Gita, so don't. Now, recently the BBT has printed such a book. But it should be understood that without the purports, it's very easy to carry a material conception read the verse and misunderstand the message. So along with reciting the verses from Ramayana or Mahabharata or Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, we should know the purport, the benefit of what Prabhupada has done. Just share this with you also. Can you close the door the rest of the way? Bhanu Swami has, I don't know where he gets the time, but somehow he's, with his Sanskrit skill, he's translated commentaries of Bhagavad Gita and commentaries of Nectar Devotion and commentaries of Ishopanishad and commentaries of the 10th canto. And Prabhupada had access to those commentaries when he made his Bhaktivedanta purports. And when you read Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports side by side with the commentary of these acharyas, it makes one marvel at how, in very simple, accessible, non-scholarly, pablumized practically presentation, so easily digested, assimilatable in their system, messages of our acharyas who have disclosed the confidential meanings of when Krishna is speaking something. What is even Krishna speaking? What is Krishna thinking as he's speaking something? So the Bhaktivedanta purports are as much of a treasure as the verses being translated from the Sanskrit. So this little ceremony we're gathering together on Ram Navami for is to honor receiving Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam form. Practically speaking, for this age, even more important than receiving a deity in your home. Deity worship is a common practice that householders will take up. And it's certainly appropriate for one who is on the path back to Godhead to worship the deity form of the Lord. But the literary form of the Lord is even more important. To regularly access Krishna or the personality of Godhead in the form of sound vibration, recorded sound vibration, very easily accessed. And I promise you, if you make it a regular practice to read Srimad Bhagavatam, either a little bit every day or whatever the pattern of your work schedule is, regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it will grow on you. It will become part of your life. It's inseparable from your life. It transforms how you see the world around you and see yourself and see your relationship with Krishna. It's very, 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 very potent. So I'm happy to be here receiving Srimad Bhagavatam in a formal way like this. So we'll have a little fire yajna, chant auspicious mantras, and then disperse and go about our activities today.